We're going to turn in our Bibles, please, for our scripture reading this evening to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, very familiar of God's Word. We're going to read a few verses from this chapter this evening. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. And we know again that God will add his own blessing to this wonderful portion of his word. I would like you to turn just to that portion of God's word that we read together this evening in Romans chapter 5 and also the verse 8. The book of Romans is one of the wonderful books. All the books are wonderful, but the book of Romans is a wonderful book. And many of you, I'm sure, this evening have used just the book of Romans and maybe introducing the gospel to someone, explaining the gospel to someone, seeking to show to someone how they can know their sins forgiven and how they can be ready for heaven. You know, that's the most wonderful thing that any one of us can do this evening. We have there in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That takes in everybody. It takes in you as you're presenting the gospel. It takes in me. And so it's a good place to start. And then, of course, you turn then to Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Takes you right back to the Garden of Eden. And it's good to bring someone who you're dealing with or talking to, just to bring them back to the simplicity of God's word, and how often you would find, and I have found, that whenever you try to concentrate and just on bringing God's word, the unsaved seem to be so skilled at trying to sidetrack you, bring other issues in and other subjects in. But it's good that whenever we're talking to some of her friends who don't know the Lord, that we try to concentrate on what God's Word says, not what we say. It's what God's Word says, and that is the primary objective in talking to men and women about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not I. It's not me. It's not what I have done or what I can do or what I can say. It's what God says and what God can do. And of course, then we turn over to Romans 6:23. Explain to them the plight that they're in because of Adam's first transgression. And the result of their sin, the wages of sin is death. We all know what wages are. It helps us to live. It helps us to buy the groceries and so on and pay the oil bills and whatnot all. And everyone that we talk to would understand the wages of sin is death, separation from God. What a plight humanity's in tonight. Separated from God through sin. And then the other part of the verse, such a contrast, but the gift of God. We all know what gifts are. Something we're given. Don't have to pay for them. I was looking after the grandchildren a week or two ago, 10 days ago, and they love to go out round the shops, even at night. We're not that far from a shopping area in the Limavady side of Corain, where the Jet Centre is, and B&Q, and other places, and they love to go round. We were B&Q, and they love to run round and hiding me and one thing or another, but Isaac's 9 and Ellie's 7, and they went away on their own, and they come back. Well, in fact, I couldn't find them, and I got the girl in B&Q to. I said, would you mind putting over the loudspeaker? And she says, are you serious? I said, yes, I am. Would you put over the loudspeaker? Would Isaac and Ellie Martin please come to the counter? And I saw them coming down, and they had a parcel, 2 bags. I had one on the bottom and a bag over the top. They'd bought me a lovely plant and 3 wee smaller plants, wee bulbs, wee winter bulbs like crocuses and so on. And they had it all covered up. And they said, Grand, you're not allowed to look at it because we want to make it a surprise whenever you get home. Wasn't that lovely? And so it would be awful if I had said, well, what do I owe you for it? No, and the gift of God is the same. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then, of course, Romans 10:13. This is just, I know it's elementary to you, but it's good that we refresh our mind as we go out on a Monday morning, not knowing maybe who God's going to lead across our pathway, and to be able to present to them in a simple way, in a loving way, in a gracious way, the message of the gospel. Romans 10:13. For whosoever, that's wonderful. That includes the very person you're talking to. That includes you tonight in our meeting if you're not converted. Whosoever. Oh, your name's not put in. If my name, Trevor, was put there, well, there might be more than one or two Trevors in the world, and so there are. But it's the whosoever. That means you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's not hard to call. Sure, it's not. It's one of the simplest things that a child knows once it starts to speak. They call for help. They call for daddy. They call for mommy. Aye, and they call for granda too. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, of course, Romans 10:9. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so, this book of Romans is a wonderful book. Yes, there are many other verses that people can use, but it's perhaps, I was going to say handy, but it's very easy if you have your Bible and you're just flicking over a few pages, if you don't remember the verses. And it's good to get people sometimes just to read the verse with you so that they really understand what it is to become a Christian. But we're going to look this evening at one of my favorite gospel texts, Romans 5 and the verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We could quote this verse as follows. God declareth, or God showeth his love by a certain sign, and he illustrates that love through his dear Son. And of course we have the gospel in a nutshell, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then we have that word, whosoever. That includes everyone in our meeting this evening. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this, John says, 1 John 4 and 9, in this was manifest or was revealed or shown the love of God. Oh, there's nothing greater to talk about than to talk about God's love. And this verse in Romans 5 and 8 is one of the many great gospel texts in the Bible. Why is it so great? Because it centers around the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, if you're talking to unconverted loved ones, those that you meet, irrespective of what, perhaps could we say, sins they have been involved in, or the depths of sin they have gone to, it's just wonderful to present to them the love of God. Just to show them that God is a God of mercy, a God of grace, and a God of love. And to draw them to Calvary and to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse shows us very clearly and very plainly and very simply God's love for the ungodly. I trust tonight, if you're in our meeting, and as I said before, not converted, that perhaps you'll realize and understand more fully before you leave the meeting just what God's love means and what it has done for you. There's just three very simple little headings I want to leave with you this evening. First, the sinner is mentioned. It says, while we were yet sinners. And secondly, it mentions God's love. God commendeth his love. And then thirdly, Christ's death. Christ died for us. So we have the sinner, first of all, while we were yet sinners. It's so important that we realize and try to understand our condition, our natural condition before God. You see, God is holy, and we must always emphasize. We must always pay attention. And even when we're talking to those who are not saved, we must try to get across the holiness of God. For if we do not get them to understand the holiness of God, they'll never fully understand the awfulness of their sin. Yes, God is a God of love, but God is holy and God is just. And God cannot and will not abide sin. The sinner is described in many different ways throughout Scripture. If we take the verse 6 just of this particular chapter that we were reading says, "For when we were right without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." In other words, that explains to us our helplessness. We're helpless to do anything for ourselves, spiritually speaking. And yet this is the very love that God has for us. For if when we were enemies, we read that in Ephesians, Christ died for us. And in Psalm 58 and verse 3, we read these words, "The wicked are estranged, have gone astray from the womb, born in sin." And then if you turn over with me just for a few moments, please, and we'll be turning back to this chapter. It's Ephesians chapter 2, a very familiar chapter to us, but it explains so wonderfully well the condition of the sinner before God. Paul says, "And you hath he quickened," or "you hath he brought to life," it says, "who were dead in trespasses and in sin, wherein in time past ye walked." There we have our walk. We walked according to the course of this world. It says down in the end of that chapter, or that verse 2, disobedient, children of disobedience. And then in the verse 3, among whom we all had our conversation in time past. Our conversation wasn't right. Things we talked about, things we thought, was against God. And then, of course, we come to the verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us." And to believer tonight, we can also rejoice in the time past. You can reflect back this evening, perhaps, in your past life. No thought of God. No desire for God. No desire to love him. And you can rejoice tonight in the moment and the time and the day whenever you are awakened to your great need of him. Our text says, "But God commendeth," or God showed his love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners," we were enemies, we were wicked, we had gone astray, we were without Christ. What a picture. And you could say, "My, you're painting a very bleak picture." But that is the picture that the Bible reveals to us concerning each one of us this evening. The prophet Isaiah said there in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And how true it is. As we talk to people, we find that so few have any interest, any desire, even to talk about the things of God. That's because their mind is controlled. Their life is controlled by Satan. And they do not understand. They're in darkness. And that's the natural condition of those who believe not the gospel. And you know what it's like being country people here, what it's like for sheep to go astray. One goes through a hole in the hedge, the rest will follow. They go astray. And we're just the very same this evening. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners." In our sin. Where are you tonight in our meeting? What's your condition tonight in our meeting? Will you be honest before God tonight? We're going to look at God's love, secondly. It says, "God commendeth his love toward us." What a wonderful, wonderful thought that is. That the God of heaven, the God of creation, the God tonight who rules and reigns throughout this world. Oh yes, this world is in turmoil. There's no one to deny that. And yet we believe tonight as his people that God is still in control of all things. We think of his love for his earthly people, Israel, way back there in the Old Testament. How that they were down in Egypt. under a cruel taskmaster, Pharaoh. What a picture of the sinner and the devil being under his control. And yet God had a plan and a purpose to redeem them, to bring them out of Egypt. He sent along Moses, and you know the story well. I'll not take time to go into it, but how that God told Moses to provide a lamb and get each of the Hebrew people in their homes to take the lamb and to slay the lamb, and to put the blood upon in a little basin and take a bit of heather and put the blood upon the doorposts and upon the lintel of the home, and the angel of death would bypass that home. Why, that was God's plan for Israel in those days. My, what a plan it was to bring them out of Egypt under the cruel taskmaster. And that's what God has done for us in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary. We read there in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love for with he loved us. My, the mercy of God. It's hard to understand, it's hard to explain that God in heaven, the holy God of heaven, should look down upon sinful men and to say, I'll send my Son to the cross, that he would die an awful death, a cruel death, that he might redeem for himself a people. God's love in adopting us into his family. John's little epistle there, it says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Not only God's great love, but think of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love. He was willing to leave the splendor of heaven for you and me. He was willing to leave the worship of angels, and knowing what it would cost him to come down into this earth, to be rejected of men and to be taken by cruel men and tried and a false trial and the awful agony of the cross, to give his life a ransom for many. What an example the Lord Jesus Christ set during his earthly ministry to display his love for sinners. You think of there in John's Gospel, chapter 4, how that he met that woman at the well. A woman that was despised and rejected by her community. She had to go to the well in the middle of the day when she knew no one else would go because it was so warm. They would have went early in the morning or late in the evening. But this poor woman, because of her shame, because of her sin, she was embarrassed. She went in the middle of the day, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew her condition. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved her. The disciples would have nothing to do with her, but Jesus loved her. And my, what a transformation he made in her life. You think of the woman in John's Gospel, I think it is, chapter 8, I was reading it just the other morning. The woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And can you picture the scene there? As the Pharisees came to Jesus and told about this poor lady, the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about her. He knows all about you and me tonight. We don't have to tell the Lord about us. He knows. And he knew this poor lady. It says there in the verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least or the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You know, there's a lesson there for us as believers tonight. Sometimes it's easy to find fault with people. Sometimes it's easy to criticize people whenever what people need is just a loving hand, a loving word of kindness. I love those words in Isaiah. I think it's 42 verse 3 or 43 verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a believer. And maybe you're embarrassed by yourself, and maybe you find you've no one to talk to and no one really to care and no one really to understand. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ this evening. He's the sinner's friend. He loves you tonight. At the end of that story, that poor woman, can you see her there standing alone? Embarrassed. Ashamed. She'd been made a public example. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" You get the picture? You get the scene? She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." My, what a Savior we have tonight. What a loving Lord Jesus Christ we have this evening. We think of his love for us and ever giving himself upon the cross of Calvary. Time is going. You can think about Zacchaeus tonight. And Christ's love here was a wee crooked man. He loved his money. And he loved to make money. He loved to count money. He was interested in nobody else but himself. And then one day he hears about Jesus coming and I says, "I must go and see what this person Jesus is about." And he went out and he went under a sycamore tree and he thought he was hidden. Maybe you're here tonight and you think, "Oh, things that I have done, well, nobody knows about." Well, maybe nobody does, but Jesus knows. And let me tell you tonight, Jesus still loves you. He doesn't love your sin. But he loves you so much that he wants to take you out of your sin. He loves you so much tonight that he wants to cleanse your sin. Take it away. He loves you so much tonight that he wants to wash you in his precious blood and make you ready for heaven. There's no other story like that tonight. And as Zacchaeus sat up there in the sycamore tree, the Lord Jesus Christ just comes along and he just stops. And he looks up. My, I'm sure Zacchaeus' heart started to beat twice as hard. Jesus sees me. Jesus knows me. And Zacchaeus was invited down to the ground. And can you see them? Two of them walking back to Zacchaeus' house. At the end of that wonderful story it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And that's the message of the gospel this evening. Yes, we see the sinner, we see God's love. Lastly and in closing, we want just to look for a few moments at Christ's death upon the cross. God commendeth his love. God showed his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, pardon me, Christ died for us. As I said earlier on, if we're talking to those who are unconverted, always bring them to the cross. Sometimes it is difficult, but as the late Pastor Willie Mullen says, by fair means or by foul, let us get to the cross. And I just want to close with the cross this evening. The verse 6 in this chapter, and I quoted it before, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us." Without strength, utterly unable to help ourselves, utterly unable to save ourselves, utterly unable to make ourselves ready for heaven. But in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, or Christ died for us, or put it more personally, Christ died for me. We read there in Romans chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Christ's death was a substitutionary death. That's what this verse tells us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you remember Abraham and Mount Moriah? What a story. As he was going up the mountain, young Isaac had the wood and the fire, and he knew what the sacrifice was about. He had been well taught. And he said to his dad, Abraham, he says, "We have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham says, "Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb." And as they went on up the mountain, I must be very quick, and there they built a little altar, and Abraham tied his only son, Isaac, upon the altar. Can you picture that? Young Isaac could have struggled. He could have run away. He was an able young boy, and his dad was an old man. But he was willing to lay his life on that altar on the top of Mount Moriah. And just as Abraham, his father, lifted up the knife to plunge it into his only son, God spoke and he said, "Abraham, turn round, and there's a lamb caught in a briar, caught in a thicket." And as Abraham looked round, he saw that God had provided a lamb in the place of Isaac. And I can see Isaac getting up with a smile on his face as he looked upon that lamb. That lamb died in Isaac's place. Isaac was ready to die, but God provided a lamb in his place. And dear friend, this evening in our meeting, as we close, on the cross of Calvary, the greatest sacrifice that ever was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. I should have died upon the cross as a guilty sinner, because my sin separated me from God. Each one of us this evening deserved to die that awful death and go to hell. But God in his love and his mercy provided that all-sufficient sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there as he died on Calvary and shed his precious blood for you and for me, he was our substitute. He took my place. He died for me and he died for you. I wonder tonight, as we close our meeting, will you realize just that you're a sinner? That you cannot save yourself? That you're separated from God in this meeting? If you die separated from God, you'll go to hell. I wonder tonight, will you realize God's great love? Sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die in your place, that you might be saved and one day go to heaven. I don't believe that it's God's desire tonight, as you listen to the gospel, that you reject it, that you refuse it. But I believe it's his desire and his will that you come and receive his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. As we read earlier on in our introduction, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God bless these few stumbling remarks for his name's sake.